This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Monday morning, everybody, and welcome in to Ben and Woods on, yes, a Monday morning. And once again, Woods is still on vacation. Jeff in the chat says, is Woods back today? I've already forgotten what he looks like. Me too, Jeff. Me too. Now, Woods is not back until Wednesday, so you're stuck with me, Ben Higgins, and Paul Reindl, our executive producer, imaging director, and co-host, who has been working very, very hard this last week. Not that you don't work hard when Woods is here, but you're wearing a lot of hats, Paulie, and I appreciate it, and it's good to see you. How was your weekend?
Wearing my yellow Padres spring training hat.
That's a good
today.
One. Yeah, you wear hats, and you wear a lot of figurative hats as well.
Yes, but no, long week last week. Good week, I thought. I thought it was a really great week. Very tired, though. Spent the weekend just relaxing.
I blinked and the weekend was over.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens. It's like, okay, Friday's here, let's go. It's time to relax, kick back, and the next thing I know, I'm showing up at work at Channel 10 on Sunday afternoon going,
what happened?
Where did that weekend go? I mean, it feels like it was just Friday morning and I was here, and now we're back here on a Monday. But I guess that just happens as you start getting older. The passage of time, at least perceptually, goes a lot faster. I got an email at work this week. They're already asking me to request my days off over the holidays.
Oh, boy.
In December, I'm going, didn't we just get through the holidays? Christmas, wasn't that just a little while ago? I already have to pick my days off for December at the end of the year. But that's how fast these years go. You made the great point, though, as we were texting with Woods last night, that thanks to the Padres' rare Sunday win, second Sunday win in the last three Sundays yesterday, and thanks to a couple wins last week, we will actually get through the entire Woods vacation without coming on the day after a loss and having to talk about it without him. Now, who knows what happens tomorrow in Pittsburgh when Woods will be back on Wednesday morning.
But guaranteed loss tomorrow.
But you and me, we got nothing but the wins to talk about. They did lose on Friday, but that's a distant memory now after taking two or three from the Colorado Rockies.
Talk about Friday?
Yeah, distant
Friday?
Memory.
Y'all want to talk about Friday? Friday.
Barely awake on Friday. So the Padres treated us pretty well while Woods was gone, giving us a lot of positive stories, good things to talk about, and ultimately a series win and a 4-1 homestand, which was pretty good. I did watch some Olympics over the weekend. I got up early yesterday. And it's one of those, you know, you kind of wake up when you wake up, and then you realize it's the weekend, so you go back to sleep. But I'm pretty much, my body is set that it's going to wake me up around 4:30, 4:40 every single morning, whether I want it to or not. And I'm pretty good if it's Saturday or Sunday. Nope, don't have to get up, turn it back off, and go back to sleep, and give me at least another couple of hours before I get up. But it happened yesterday, and I thought, you know what's going on right now? Final round of the Olympic golf tournament, so I'll pop it on because I know Xander Schauffele was tied for the lead with Jon Rahm going into the final round, and popped it on for a little while, and he was still up there, I think, tied for the lead in the front nine early. And I thought, okay, I really need to get some more sleep. So I went back to sleep for another couple hours after watching for like 45 minutes. And then I got up again, and he looked completely fallen apart, like gone. I couldn't even find him. Like, what happened, Xander? Where's Jon Rahm? Where's Xander? Jon Rahm was like, he got up by four strokes, and then he disappeared, and Xander disappeared, and all of a sudden, Scottie Scheffler is coming out of nowhere shooting a 62, to win the gold medal. And what a narrative change that was, because...
Tell me about it.
As of Saturday, everyone's going, I don't know, I don't think Scottie Scheffler's the player of the year anymore. I mean, if Xander gets two majors and he gets a gold medal, isn't that better than all the things that Scottie Scheffler has done? Just throw that in the garbage, because with Scottie Scheffler's major year, 6 wins, Masters title, Players' Championship, elevated events, and now the Olympic gold medal with a record 62 on Sunday. Yeah, it was Scottie's year. It was probably Scottie's year all along. It was a great year for Xander, but he's the number 2 player, and Scottie remains the number 1 player. So I watched that and watched some of the other Olympics. We'll talk about the 100-meter race a little bit later. The drama there probably could make an appearance in a couple of different segments. Don't do this on the call by NBC of getting the getting the winner of the premier race of the Olympics.
They said it with such conviction.
Wrong.
They were so confident.
Leave some room for doubt that maybe someone else
did
won.
Did he win?
I mean,
no.
It was decided by 5/1000ths of a second. Even like you go to the horse races and there's a photo finish, they're always like, hold all tickets, wait, you know, there's a dramatic reveal after a couple of minutes. I don't know how the Lee Diffie, who's the announcer, felt so sure about who won at the line when there were 4 runners who were all within hundredths of a second of each other. And that's the difference between, and I saw someone posted, there's an old Seinfeld stand-up bit. That's the difference between gold medal, silver medal, bronze. No one ever heard of you. You don't win a medal. I mean, we're talking.
I've seen that Seinfeld. He's like, now to now. You train your whole life, and it comes down to between now to now.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Wow.
Perceptually, for at least a human being, the difference between the fastest man in the world and the 4th fastest man in the world, who gets absolutely nothing after training all those years to get to the Olympics. And we're like, that, I was that close. I was right there. I mean, even the guy who's in last finishes less than a quarter of a second behind everybody else. And it's kind of one of the more ridiculous events, but clearly it's the kind of the premier. Wouldn't you say it's the most Olympic of the Olympic events?
Yeah,
it's just the 100-meter dash.
You asked last week, your seventh inning stretch question for the roundtable was, if you could win gold, dominate, be the best in any one Olympic event, what would it be? And my answer, I don't think I even hesitated, it was a 100-meter sprint. Like, just to be able to say, yeah, I'm the fastest man on the planet. I think it's the best event. It's my favorite to watch. It's thrilling for as short of a race as it is. It lived up to all the hype. It was great.
Just the feeling of being able to like go that fast without being in a car or on a motorcycle or something, and you're actually propelling yourself as fast as those guys go in such a short period of time. It's compelling theater, and it's compelling drama, and I think the reason that we do enjoy watching the Olympics, because let's be honest, most of us probably watch 0 of these Olympic sports between the Olympics. I don't watch the World Track and Field Championships every summer. I don't watch the World Gymnastics Championships. They do them. They do have them every year.
Oh, yeah. World events.
And
world
we don't meets. The swimming, you know, they do these every year. But we only pay attention to them 1 every 4 years, which makes them, of course, probably more than they should be, of outsized importance for the athletes, because they know they can win 2 world championships in between the Olympics, but if they don't medal, if they're not on the podium at the Olympics, then they really haven't made any impact, at least beyond their sport. That's the only way they can have an impact culturally beyond their sport, is to win at the Olympics. So with that kind of pressure creates the kind of theater and drama that we enjoy watching on television. And it's kind of a sick thing that part of the reason we like watching it is how big a failure is costly to the athletes. Like, you know, they have everything on the line, which of course makes it great theater. Maybe it shouldn't be that way. You know, a guy who wins two world championships but doesn't win the Olympics is probably just as good of a sprinter as the guy who wins the Olympics but doesn't win the world championships the year before.
Sure.
Running, generally, they're running against the same people every
but
year in these races.
Eyes are on the Olympics.
But only one set of every 4 years is everybody watching. Does everybody care about it? So that race has just such outsized importance compared to the rest of the 4 year cycle. It'd be in pretty good theater, and you know, I think the Olympics gets it right, and that I wouldn't want to watch the Olympics certainly not every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think every 2 years. I think 4 years kind of gets it.
That adds
gets
to
it
the
right.
Mystique.
Yeah,
100%.
It's pretty cool. So yeah, watch some Olympics this weekend, and went down to the game on Saturday with the Padres, and we'll talk about the weekend against the Colorado Rockies. But ultimately, they as disappointing as Friday was. It's hard to complain about anything when you go 4-1 on a homestand. That's an 800 winning percentage.
Team's on fire.
Team remains on fire. 11-3 since the All-Star break is the best record in baseball since the break. Yet the one team that they can't really put any separation between the Padres and the team that is chasing them, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they have the second record, best record since the All-Star break at 11-4. And their hot streak actually stretches, of course, before the All-Star break when they, you know, they played the Padres, played them well, took that series from the Padres before the All-Star break. The Arizona Diamondbacks, you could argue, depending on what date you want to choose, might actually be the hottest team in baseball over the last 3 to 4 weeks since before the All-Star break. So the race in the National League for the wild card spot for the National League West title remains very very hot. The Dodgers did do the same thing as the Padres over the weekend, taking 2 of 3 from the Oakland A's. Last place club. You lose the first game, and you come back and win the next two to take the series. Exactly what the Padres did against the Colorado Rockies, the Dodgers did against the Oakland Athletics. So no ground lost, no ground made up against the L.A. Dodgers. Padres remain 4.5 games back, which is all right, but at some point, you know, you're going to have to, if you want to catch him and you want to win the division, you're going to start chipping away at that 4.5 games. The Dodgers are fine matching the Padres, you know, and the Diamondbacks the rest of the way.
Yeah, if there's anything to quote-unquote complain about, we don't complain about wins. This team is playing so great, but God, doesn't it feel like every time they go on a streak, whether it's 5 in a row, 6 out of 7, whatever, they can't make up a ton of ground. The teams that they would seemingly be trying to be chasing all start winning as well right around the same time.
Yeah, and that has been kind of the case here. There is one team they've made up a lot of ground on since the All-Star break. That's the Atlanta Braves,
yep,
who have gone 7-9 since the All-Star break, meaning the Padres have made up 5 games, I think that is, on the Atlanta Braves going from that far back to now, for the first time, I believe, all year long, Padres find themselves in a virtual tie with the Atlanta Braves at the top of the wild card standings. Now, technically, the Braves have played 2 fewer games, so they have 1 less loss, which means percentage-wise, the Braves are ahead. But, of course, the Padres do own the tiebreaker. And if they finish tied at the end of the season, when, of course, every team will have played the same amount of games, the Padres would have the edge there. Mm-hmm. So they've essentially erased that deficit. Padres are tied with the Braves, 0.5 game ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they did pick up some ground on the New York Mets this weekend as well, who stubbed their toe in Anaheim, dropping 2 of 3 to the Angels. And they're 9-7 since the All-Star break. So the Padres have gained a couple of games on the Mets, who have fallen 1.5 games out of that third wild card spot. The Cardinals lost 3 of 4 to the Cubs, including Sunday Night Baseball last week. So there's kind of the top 3 and then a little bit of separation, and you go down to the other teams, which is where you want to start creating some of that separation going forward for the San Diego Padres. And then you can really focus in on, you know, chasing down the Dodgers and not worrying about what the Mets and the Cardinals and the Pirates and even the Giants are doing behind you. You can kind of look at the teams ahead of you and keep trying to chase those teams down.
Yeah, Tyler says in the chat, Arizona has back-to-back series versus Cleveland and Philly this week. Need to keep winning and hope for some separation. Yeah, Diamondbacks at Guardians this week, and then they got the Phillies this weekend.
Yeah, and the Dodgers are hosting the Phillies tonight. So in a series, so I mean, a chance for the Padres maybe to make up some ground.
While the Padres are playing the Pirates and the Marlins.
Right. And the Pirates aren't bad.
They're not bad, but you're better.
But you should be better. You're not facing Paul Skeens, who the Diamondbacks, I mean, beat. They didn't hand Paul Skeens a loss yesterday, mm-hmm. but they did win that game to remain pretty darn hot. So this could be an opportunity week for the San Diego Padres. We'll obviously get into all of that. Take our first break. We'll come back and set the menu for what we have on this Monday, the penultimate show before Woods returns from vacation on Wednesday morning. Obviously, we'll talk a lot about what happened over the weekend at Petco Park and the homestand. All coming up, it's Ben, it's Paulie. Glad to have you with us on a Monday morning. Let's make this a good week. Kelly's got traffic, and we are off and running on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paulie mentioned he's wearing his yellow Padres spring training hat, but also getting some comments about the shirt you are wearing today, yeah. Paulie. If you're on our YouTube stream, Dylan Cease, no hitter.
What does it say? Just the
July.
Got the stat line.
Yeah. It's all kind of
second
bundled
in San Diego franchise history, but yeah, it's bundled
into
up
a profile of his head with like a little space just for the mustache there. Yeah, yeah, it's clever.
Dead Friars Society.
Very clever. Not the most recent no-hitter in Major League Baseball, though. Congratulations to our friend Blake Snell.
How about that?
On his no-hitter on Friday for the San Francisco Giants. Not only a no-hitter and his first no-hitter, but the first time that not only Blake Snell has ever pitched a complete game, and this one was the part that stunned me. The first time he's ever even thrown a pitch in the ninth inning in a game in his entire career. This is a guy who's won two Cy Young Awards.
I like that.
And he had never even thrown a pitch in the ninth inning in his career. And he seemed to really enjoy being able to change that narrative a little bit. Like, I told you I could do it. Everyone said I couldn't do it. Well, I mean, they had some evidence that you couldn't for many, many, many years. You would give them six strong, and then, you know, you'd throw in 103 pitches because you're not efficient. So, yeah, you weren't going to go deep and go into the ninth inning, but walked three still.
I thought it was great. I watched the ninth inning on MLB Network, switched over in the middle of the Padres game, watched the final three outs, and, yeah, man, I was happy for him.
I switched over just a hair too late. They were embracing on the mound when I switched over. That was fast. I thought they were just going to the ninth inning.
Maybe his most efficient inning.
I was going, wait. I thought we were just about to start the ninth, but did I miss something? I guess I did miss something. They were already hugging on the mound when I turned it on.
Real quick outs, and then the final hurdle is Ellie De La Cruz. And you're just like, all right, if you're going to get it, you got to earn this one. And he got it. Line drive out to right center field.
A little hop on the catch made everyone a little nervous, I think, out there. But like with Dylan Cease's no-hitter, the last swing looked the most hitterish at the end. Line drive that looked like it might fall. Bryce Johnson made the catch. So a similar method of ending the no-hitter for Blake Snell. So congratulations to Blake Snell, keeping the Giants kind of on the fringe of the wild card race. They're 4.5 games out after taking their series over the weekend, but still behind the Pirates, Cardinals, Mets, and then the three teams that are in the wild card standings. Coming up on the program today, well, let's give you the second half of the program, because looking forward to having joining us in studio to kind of guest host in our 8 o'clock hour and beyond. He usually comes in on Mondays just on the phone, but Sammy Lovett's going to sit in with us and help recap the weekend that was with the San Diego Padres and get a lot of good Padres chat with the very knowledgeable, very hardworking Sam Lovett. Very handsome. I saw him in person on Saturday. I was down in the dugout. Got to see Sammy, got to see Mudd, talked with Mudd for a few minutes. Saw Scan, talked to A.J. Preller. Best wishes, by the way, to the Padres' general manager, who is on the injured list right now.
Oh, no.
He has the same injury as Justin Herbert, the quarterback of the Los Angeles Chargers. Tore his plantar fascia. And so he's going to be out for a little bit from...
It's going to make it hard to run and cut and dribble on the basketball
Exactly.
courts.
That's what he's out from. He can still do all the GMing. Which maybe Padres fans are happy. Now he has nothing to occupy any time whatsoever other than caring about his baseball team, which is kind of dumb at this point because after the trade deadline and after the draft, it's probably, I mean, I'm sure they're already looking at next year's prospects and they're always scouting the entire league, but it really is the quieter part of the year for a GM. You've really done everything you can do. There may be a, you know.
I'm sure AJ, I don't even know if he, like, goes on vacations. I'm talking ever, like, during the off season.
I don't think he does.
But if there was ever a time to at least just, like, take a step back and breathe for a couple of days, it'd be right now.
But then this is the most stressful part of the year as well, because all you can do
is you've
put together the team, and now are they going to sink or swim? Did I do a good job or did I do a bad job? And sure, you can call up guys from AAA and make some moves down the stretch to, you know, on the margins to try to help your team. But the big stuff is done for now. And now it's up to the hands of the players and the manager and the coaches of whether or not they can pull it off. So did get to see AJ, talk to him, got to see Buddy Black, manager of the Colorado Rockies, who mentioned that, enjoys listening to this program, Paulie, when he gets the opportunity. He says, we make him laugh, which I thought, that's very nice of you,
buddy.
Because I hadn't seen Bud in a couple of years. I missed him totally last year on the Rockies, a couple of visits to San Diego. So I wanted to make a point, went over, said hello to Buddy. And so he's at least a partial tier one when he gets the opportunity to listen to the Ben and Woods program, is nice. The more managers in the National League that we can get listening to this program, I think the better. We know we got Mike Schilt every week. We know we got Skip Schumacher as a diehard tier one.
Mm-hmm.
We know we've got now Buddy Black. I suspect that Dave Roberts, even though he takes his shots, will tune in on occasion, especially since he lives here in San Diego. I don't know about Bob Melvin, whether he, we've had him obviously on a ton, but whether he's stuck with us after he's gone to San Francisco.
I don't know.
My guess would be maybe not. Didn't go that well for him last year. Doesn't want the reminder of... 2023 anymore, staring him in his face. Probably hurts to hear us talking about the Padres winning under Mike Schilt and doing so well this year. So maybe we've lost him.
Torrey Lavulo.
I think he'd like the show. Honestly, he seems like a pretty cool guy and he kind of gets it.
I think so too.
I think
actually.
He'd like the show. We need to get someone to make sure Torrey's watching in the morning. We can get the whole NL West for sure. Part of the NL East. The Central, I don't know. We're going to get, I don't know if Craig Council is ever going to be a tier one, but we just start working on that.
Maybe Adam will send us to Diamondbacks training, spring training for a day.
Maybe
scout the competition and we can get a sit down with Torrey. And
maybe Schilt can get Ollie Marmol to start listening. Just, hey, these guys are great. His former bench coach there, he can probably help it out. So, the more NL managers we have listening to this program, the better. So, we will go through the whole weekend, including our Padres wrap-up coming up next for yesterday's 10-2 win over the Rockies, which is a nice thing, a Sunday win. Actually, 2 out of 3 Sunday wins. It got so bad. I remember last week that Paulie had to create an AI-generated song about the Padres' inability to win on Sundays in the theme of bro country.
Yeah, Sunday slump.
Sunday slump.
Cali by the sun-kissed bay, with a nickname from the Padres, but they can't seem to play. Come Sunday afternoon, they just fold and fade away.
So, it kind of goes on like that about the Padres' inability to win on Sundays. Well, now that they're trying to flip that narrative, we thought it's only fair if we go into the AI machine again. And what was the prompt that you put in this time, Paulie?
This prompt was a song about the San Diego Padres finally winning a baseball game on a Sunday by beating the mighty Colorado Rockies in the style of bro country.
All right, let's hear it.
This is called Padres Sunday Miracle.
Okay, this is peppier. I get it. Yeah.
Sunshine hitting the diamond fresh. San Diego Padres chasing that quest. Last place hoping for some Sunday zest. Rockies laughing think they the best. Padres lineup looking sharp today. Pitcher throwing heat, let's make them pay. Crowd going wild, cheers and sway. Rockies feel the pressure start to fray. It's a Padres Sunday miracle, hell yeah.
It's a Padres Sunday miracle.
Ball flying,
hell yeah.
Park, don't care. Fans out of their seats, hands in the air. Rocky stomped by the local fair.
Nice. Very well done.
Hot dogs, mustard, beer in hand. Sunburns, baseball tans, never planned. Dumbs, calls divine, everything's so grand. Padres stand tall, Rockies understand. Now I'm feeling tension, high heart's pounding fast.
Maybe instead of the Padres wrap it, we just come up with a new song for every single game.
I could probably do it.
We could. All right, Padres 10-2 winners. Just plug in all the stats, you know. Who did well, who had a home run, get some names in there, and
I
good
see,
to go every single day.
John from KSON just walked past the hall here. We're going to have to play that for him. I got to send that over and be like, dude, this has KSON written all over. It sounds like literally every song on KSON right
now. He should be here in about 40 minutes for Take
Holy
on John.
Crap.
We got a brand new prize this month, by the way. A great, great Las Vegas getaway. We'll tell you all about that coming up. Don't do this and more, but up next, our Padres wrap-up, we'll hear Jesse's calls of the 10-2 win over the Colorado Rockies from yesterday. Coming up next, Ben Pauly on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. A little more Olympic news for you this morning. It looks like Simone Biles just had her last routine or exercise individual event. Tom Brady was there to watch it. Looked like it was pretty spectacular, although I just saw she got the silver. And Jordan Chiles got the bronze. So someone beat her, which is impressive. But what an amazing Olympics it's been for Simone Biles.
She's just sharing the wealth a little bit.
Yeah, well, you want some different colored jewelry. They can't all be gold, right? So mix and match in the jewelry closet for Simone Biles. And they've transitioned now. Swimming ended yesterday. Gymnastics wraps up today. And now you're fully featured kind of on track. And now you're going to get into the medal rounds for things like basketball, men's and women's basketball. You start, I think the U.S. men have their quarterfinal coming up tomorrow against Brazil, and the U.S. women, who have been dominating, they play next on Thursday in the quarterfinals. So,
let me ask you a question about the Olympics real quick.
Yeah.
Before we get to our Padres wrap-up. You're much older than I am. You've seen more Olympics than I have. I'm 33 years old. In my life, I have seen the likes of Michael Phelps, his whole career, just dominate. Usain Bolt, Simone Biles, Katie Ledecky. I've seen so many athletes that are deemed one of, if not the greatest of all time. Are athletes just evolving? Are we too in the moment? Or are these really the best Olympic athletes of all time?
Yeah, they're the best now. In fact, I saw a video which was pretty telling. They showed, I don't know what it was, the 100-meter or 200-meter swimming final, and they had the video from the 1932 Olympics in black and white, and they did it side by side just to show you how far ahead, like the last place finisher now would be seconds ahead of the first place finisher in 1932.
So we're not just getting caught up in any hype. Like, Simone Biles is the GOAT.
She is the GOAT, yeah. I mean, it's all comparative. The story of like Mary Lou Retton in 1984 becoming the first woman to win the all-around gold with the vault on the, you know, the injured ankle, and she sticks it and lands it. It's an Olympic legend. It's a fantastic story for sure. She couldn't get as high, do as many flips, you know, the difficulty of the tricks. We've seen that in all Olympic sports. We see it in figure skating, in the winter sports, where they're doing like quad jumps now. You know, these women used to just do double jumps, and, you know, triple was extremely rare. Now the guys, you know, someone's going to do like a quintuple jump at some point. They just, the athletes keep getting better and better and better. Yeah. That's just evolution and better training techniques and more knowledge just being put into play. So you're seeing the best. Now, I mean, you know, the world records will tell you that their world records fall. I mean, sometimes a world record will hold up, and, you know, that'll kind of give you a comparison. Like, okay, this person was pretty good if their world record is held up for 12 years because despite all the advances in training techniques, some of those do hold up. So you keep an eye on those. But I think for the most part, you know, the athletes just keep getting better and better. All right, let's check traffic when we come back. Paulie's got all of Jesse's calls from yesterday's 10-2 win over the Rockies. Our Padres wrap up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
So 3-2, Bogarts runs, Merrill swings, hits it towards the right center gap. Cave is on the move, he's not going to get there. Hits up against the base of the wall. Bogarts rounding third, he's going to score. Merrill halts at second as the throw comes in, not in time. An RBI double and a 1-0 Padre lead. Pitch on the way, right-hand hitter swings, hits it in the air to deep left field. Profar is back of the wall, Jurek's in, trying to measure it up. He will leap and he could not make the catch. Into the first row, I think a guy caught it in his hat, and a home run for Doyle. This is a tie game, 1-1 in the fourth inning. Hilliard hits it well in the air to deep right. Peralta is back. He feels for the wall, leaps up, and he made the catch. Up at the top of the fence in right field, David Peralta went to get it, and one away here in the fifth. First pitch to Higashioka, into the air to deep left field. Hilliard is back at the wall, leaps up, gonna go! Line drive, home run, Kyle Higashioka. First pitch in the bottom of the fifth inning, and the Padres hop in front. It's 2-1. 2-0, Profar hits it in the air. Deep to right field. Cave is back. He will watch. It will go. Home run, Jurickson Profar. 19th of the season, and the second of the inning for the Padres. They now lead it 3-1. Runners at first and second. Here's the 1-1. Peralta swings, hits it in the air, deep to right field. Cave is racing back, going to turn around to watch, and it's going to go. A 3-run homer for David Peralta. Freight train on the tracks in San Diego, and he continues to torment the Rockies. This is now a 6-1 game. Bryce Johnson into play right field for Peralta. The one pitch, hit in the air, deep down the left field line. Profar over to watch. This one gonna go. Once again, Jacob Stallings leaves the yard. Second consecutive day, he has homered. Another solo shot for the Rockies, and now a 6-2 game here in the seventh. There's the 0-2. Manny swings, muscles it in the air to deep right center. Doyle on the run, not going to get there. It'll one hop over the wall. A rule book double to bring home Profar. Machado's got a 7-game hitting streak, and the Padres have a 7-2 lead. 1-2 to Cronenworth. Pitch on the way. Jake swings, hits it in the air down the right field line, and is hooking, and that's a fair ball up against the wall in the corner. Higashioka has scored. Arise is coming in. He will score a 2-run double for Jake Cronenworth, and the Padre lead is 9-2. Matsui ready. The little lefty delivers, and a swing and a miss. Back-to-back K's to end it, and the ball game is over. The series is over. And the Padres have slayed the dragon. They defeat the Rockies 10-2.
Oh, man, it was nice. Good ball game. Well done. Maddie did a nice job. Got better as it went, as he kind of does, but was good early, too, which is beneficial, and got us into the sixth, and we were able to add on from there.
Paulie, did you have a little...
Not Jesse got a little excited.
Did
there.
He just get a little overexcited, perhaps? For
I mean,
finally?
I get it. The Rockies. He took 2 out of 3 from the mighty Colorado Rockies. It warrants
that dragon
a little
up
excitement.
There in the Rocky Mountains. That
yeah,
gives the Padres so much trouble.
Matsui ready. The little lefty delivers, and a swing and a miss. Back to back K's to end it, and the ball game is over. The series is over. And the Padres have slayed the dragon. They defeat the Rockies 10-2.
Yeah, it feels that way. That's for sure.
I mean, look, I know we're going to get into all three of the games, but just to jump back to Friday real quick, who among us wasn't going, oh, Jesus God, not again? Again? The Rockies again? That's how I was feeling.
I was almost physically ill thinking about having to, after Friday, thinking about having to come in here on Monday after a series loss, or heaven forbid, Padres get swept at home again
Friday,
by the Colorado Rockies.
You're just, the doomer is going, all right, they're going to lose on Sunday because hashtag Sunday. And then you're like, will they scratch one out on Saturday, or are we going to be getting swept and we have to come in and talk about that on Monday?
Yeah, I mean, we're a doomer fan base. There's no doubt. I mean, I don't think that's an insult. We're waiting for the next bad thing to happen as a fan base. And I think we will until a lot of good things happen for your San Diego Padres. Good things are happening right now, though. It was good to see the Padres not only break out offensively, but start with Matt Waldron, who avoided the first inning struggles that had plagued him the last couple of starts. Had a very efficient first inning, went 5 2/3, gave up just 2 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, and the knuckleball was as lively as we've seen maybe all season. Maybe too lively, actually. It caused problems not only for the hitters on the Rockies, but certainly for Kyle Higashioka, who had more balls clanging off his mitt, I think, than ever before. Even Waldron, he had one where it was heading toward the outside corner and then hit the guy because it swerved so much in the lane all the way into the batter. It was moving so much, he had no idea where it was going. Ultimately, though, it pretty effective. A solid win, his 7th win of the season. And then, of course, after a slow start against Cal Quantrill offensively, Jackson Merrill helped get things going, had the RBI double in the 2nd inning, but it was still 1-1 until the 5th. And then you heard the 2 home runs, big swings by Kyle Higashioka and Jurickson Profar. 2 guys coming into this season that...
There's another one, too.
Peralta. Well, there was Peralta, but in the 5th inning. Two swings in the 5th by those two guys who... We knew they were on the Padres. We saw them in spring training. We talked to them both. And we were hoping that they could both be good, kind of backup-type contributors for the Padres.
Role players.
Role players for the Padres. If you had told me that August 5th here we're sitting, and they've combined for 32 home runs, those two guys, Higashioka and Profar, they'd say you're out of your, you're out of your mind. Jurickson's never had more than 20 in a season. And Kyle Higashioka has never had more than 10 in a season. If they both had matched their career years, which is incredibly unlikely, then maybe they could get up to like 30 combined for the whole season. They're already at 32, and there's still over 50 games left in the season. That's nuts what the Padres are getting from those two guys. Absolutely crazy. And then huge game for David Peralta. Just when you're thinking, maybe age is catching up with them. He hasn't been hitting great lately. Gets not only the huge catch, though, maybe home run robbing, maybe top of the wall double robbing, one or the other. But then the 3-run home run that really put it out of reach there in the 6th inning and let the Padres pull away and not have to use any of their highest leverage relievers at the end, give them an extra day off going into Monday. Manny's been hot. 2 for 4, double, 2 RBI. He's got a 7-game hitting streak quietly after he was hot, and then he kind of cooled off, actually, on the road trip out of the All-Star break. But he's heated up again. And
he had a couple of absolutely insane throws from the third base coach's box over the weekend.
He did. The one in the – well, both on Saturday, the 8th inning one, and then the one that Jake made a terrific play on in the 9th inning, getting the tag for that first out and helping Robert Suarez to what was ultimately an easy save. And we'll talk more about that coming up on Saturdays and Friday's games before. But yesterday, they did what they had to do. In fact, they have kept alive at least the possibility the Padres have of still winning the season series against the Colorado Rockies. I mean, they need to win every single game. They have 3 more in Colorado. I think that's coming up pretty fast here. In like less than 2 weeks, they'll go to Denver.
Right.
On their, not this road trip, but whatever the following road trip is, they go to Denver.
So this weekend, they're in Miami. It's right. The next weekend. They come back home.
For just a quick
home stand. A week
from
tonight. 3 games against the Pirates. And then they go back out on the road Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Rockies.
So, yeah, not this weekend, but next weekend. Then that's it. They don't have to face the Colorado Rockies again. And quite frankly, I'm okay with that. You know, they were supposed to be a team you were going to beat up on this season. And you, the Dodgers were the team that you were just hoping not to beat up on you too badly.
Right.
And it's been the exact opposite. Padres have already won the season series against the Dodgers. They are hanging on for dear life to try not to lose the season series to the Colorado Rockies. But they got two down, three to go if they still want to just by the slimmest of margins win that season series against the Colorado Rockies. I was hoping they'd go, what, 10-3? Now they are, at best, could be 7-6, and they have to win the last three to do that. They're 4-6 right now against the Colorado Rockies. But better than 2-8, which, you know, they could have been had they not got the jobs done on Saturday and Sunday. So, yeah, Padres now tied with the Braves for the top wild card spot in the National League as they get ready to head out on the road this week. Sam Levitt's going to be in studio. He actually tweeted out the pitching matchups for this upcoming series late last night. I'm not sure when he got the information. I hadn't seen it until Sammy's tweet about 3 or 4 hours ago. But Dylan Cease and Michael King will both pitch in the first two games of the series in Pittsburgh. And then they got a TBA for the Thursday morning game that wraps up the series. Bailey Falter is going to go in the opener now for the Pirates, left-handed pitcher tomorrow. And then Marco Gonzalez on Wednesday. And I forget who's pitching on Thursday, but that's what the Padres at least announced for the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Coming up, a team that is, fallen back. They're only a game above 500. This is pretty much their season. If the Padres come in and sweep them or take 2 out of 3, they're kind of out of the wild card race for the most part. So this is going to be a big one for them coming up this week in Pittsburgh. Looking forward to the next 3 days starting tomorrow. All right, Joe Musgrove had his minor league rehab start yesterday. Get you an update on that if you didn't see how it went last night. Get to that. Take on John coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.